I figured out, I just figured out why you're so miserable.
Why?
Because of the flashing light in the kitchen.
Oh.
Why?
I don't know. Flashing light.
The flashing fluorescent light in the kitchen is what's making her so miserable.
No, she was miserable before that.
Oh, no, but it's exacerbating it. Bringing up seizures.
It may be that they
always like that.
Well, that
effect
works. Exacerbating
that, too.
Can we get more than one verse today? Or more than one or two words?
Let's get through a whole verse today.
Try some speed reading.
Yeah, let's hurry up. We got places to go and things to do.
Yeah, let's try some speed understanding. Romans 1. God, it's good to say that.
Let's talk about that for a while.
Romans.
Now the Romans.
We did that.
Lived in Rome.
We did that yesterday.
They were Roman.
Yeah. Yes, they're called such because they wrote the epistle of Paul to the Romans. The epistle. Well, we talk about epistle.
Shut up, Gary.
The apostle's wife.
Yeah. Female
apostles.
Apostles
in the epistles. The apos and the epos.
Has anybody noticed that thing that's growing on John Bojo's lip, bottom lip?
Keeps it well trimmed.
Huh?
Keeps it well trimmed.
Maynard.
What's it called?
Caterpillar.
Maynard Bojo.
Is there a name for that little thing?
It's a postmodern
soul patch. It's in honor of the soul bowl.
Let's name it.
In honor of the soul bowl.
We're going to name it Bruce.
Oh, he has a good
Maynard.
All right.
Kevin, can you take that crap out of
We spent a lot of time yesterday about the word servant. The doulos, the bond servant. And it really, nothing else in Christianity can happen unless that word is understood. Because the word means that you have given up your own will for the will of God. And that's strange. I mean, that's rare. And it's the true meaning of believe. You cannot be a believer without being this servant. Because otherwise what you will automatically do is put God's name in what you think the way things should be. So in one sense, all idolatry comes from not being or not understanding the idea of being a servant. Many years ago when I first studied this, it was men are all in a total condition of slavery. You're either a slave to Christ or to God or to Satan. And this is where we get the relatively recent idea of free will. Because as long as you believe that man stands in some neutral position and there's these two warring gods that are vying for the souls of men, then you can come up with the idea that there's a third position, and that's your free will. There are only two wills left in the universe, so either the will of God or the will of Satan. The will of Satan is self for self, self-realization, self-improvement, self-betterment, self-condition, whatever it is.
You listen to that and you go, well, that's mine. That's what I do.
Right.
But what you're saying is that's the same thing as the will of Satan.
Right.
So I recognize that as my will.
Do you understand? Does everybody agree with this? Do you understand? Or are you still living in the illusion that all men have a free will?
I'm still trying to
And again, we've talked about this before also, but when Luther, the last book that Luther wrote was called The Bondage of Will. And it's reported that on his deathbed he requested that every other thing he had written be destroyed after his death, because everything else that he had written assumed that man had a free will. And this is kind of important, because Luther wrote a whole lot of stuff.
Wow, that brings new meaning to the name, the triumph of the will.
Right.
What's interesting to me is the fact that this world is structured in such a way that exists predominantly. Everybody thinks they are free, you know. So God has kind of given it over to
right. It's what it says. Remember, in the temptation of Christ, right after his baptism, when he couldn't have been baptized until he saw the vanity of his mind as Son of Man. So he, in his baptism, he accepted his death. He prefigured his death. So he was buried in baptism. Then the first thing that happened is Satan then tested him in the wilderness. And he took him up on a high hill, or high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. That means all. I mean past, present, future. All the kingdoms of the world, including this one. And Satan said, all this has been delivered over to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. That's a big deal.
That's the reality of it.
It's the same thing we study when we study the book of Ruth. It's about man, by definition, because he has the illusion of free will. Man is always trying to make himself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, the nearer kinsman, or the kinsman law. And that they think that's Jesus Christ.
Well, and after sweating blood in the garden, he says, nevertheless, not my will.
Right.
Probably the best will that ever was, not my will.
So when you are going through your thought process as to whether or not you accept this or not, or whether or not what your little opinions about it, make it come to that, make it hit the brick wall. Remember everything we've just studied in Ecclesiastes about the vanity and futility of human effort. Remember the meaning of repentance. I've heard of thee by the seeing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's not that he's putting dust and ashes on him to show other people he's repented. It's that he sees his life, Job, as over, burned. That is the baptism of fire that Jesus said all must go through. Amen?
And the great evil is to stop people from going through that with religious bullshit.
Well, it's called peace that offends one of these my little ones. Your offend is you're ensnared. It's the scandalon. You're ensnared in that trap of self-realization. And so it's so attractive. You make the trap look so good. I mean, the bait is so sweet. The thoughts and ideas are so sweet. The fantasies are so... But it's that you are denying, really what you're doing, you're denying Christ's baptism. That's why he caused 3.5 years, in the midst of that 7 years of Daniel, he caused the oblation to cease. Which is huge. Everybody, at the time of Christ, all the scholars and even the normal people, they anticipated They knew that this was the 70th week of Daniel. That's why there were so many people that claimed to be Messiah at that time, because people were trying to use it, and so they'd start little political parties and organizations. But Christ didn't do that. They wanted to make him king, and he fled from them. But everybody expected. It was this incredible expectation at the time of Christ because of Daniel.
Because he knew he couldn't trust his own mind.
Well, no, he's not trusted. He saw that his own mind, as Son of Man, his mind was the antithesis, the instead of what God intended.
And he couldn't trust it. He couldn't listen to it. Yeah. He couldn't do what seemed right. There's a way that seemeth right, but illegal in destruction for all men.
Including you and I. And then we go back to, of course, to his famous sermon to the Jews that believed on him. You are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father are all you're capable of willing to do. John 8:44. So the idea of being the bondslave is your will is swallowed up in the will of the Father. There is no other position. You can't be a partial believer. You can't be. Well, we'll see more about that next. Then it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He puts his slave position first, ahead of this position called apostle. No ministry of God can really exist without the slave position as its predicate. All other acts, positions, thought systems are of the instead of Christ. The call to be an apostle, kletos apostolos in Greek. To be is not in the text, so it's literally called apostle.
I have a quick sidebar. It just occurred to me how everything we talk about, every word, we can stop on every word and it reveals Christ.
Yeah.
We go to the next word, it reveals Christ. It's just amazing that you don't need the whole book, you need just...
No, you need the first... The only thing anyone needs is what we've just studied in Revelation, and every man knows that in his heart. Every man knows that his efforts are vain and foolish, and so are everybody else's. But, you know, I'm getting a little better. No, you're not. Called a called apostle. An apostle is one of the other few words. It's a transliteration. There's baptism. It's not a translation. It's baptizo. It's a coined word. The anti in an antichrist isn't against as it is in English. It's anti. It means instead of. And here, apostle is a transliteration. And it just simply means, in this context, it doesn't mean that you have any special qualifications, like, you know, God, because you have some knowledge or because you have some special thing that you're called as an apostle because you've died to self. And the way you test this out is if any man can hear when they're talking about Elijah If you're bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance, i.e., in your own life and in everything you speak and see, then by definition you're an apostle. And if you're an apostle, by definition you no longer have to figure out what you're going to say; you just be. And so that makes you a prophet. But we've got these names. We think apostle, and we've got people that call themselves apostle, like I'm apostle, blah blah blah, or I'm prophet or prophetess. Or it's just goofy. Then we got the really nutty ones that call themselves. They use the world's terminology, so they're doctor this, get some honorary degree, or they get some diploma mill degree, and they're doctor.
Get a logo.
What?
And then they get a logo and put their name over the door.
And then it's Gary Buckner Ministries.
Apostle.
Called an apostle and prophet of God. Doesn't that sound good?
Ooh, makes me sick.
What is the call word?
Kletos. It just means the same thing it means to be. You know, you're predestined to be. You were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. You know, all of these kind of things. You're just it's what you see, the same thing that He sees.
God says to the hound of heaven, seek Him.
Yeah. But each, by definition, and each body of believers has to start with an apostle. Because if they've started without a dying seed, then they're going to get the wrong message. And this is especially, and again, it doesn't matter what we call ourselves, that's immaterial. If you've come to the end, then you fall into the ground and die, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and died, about it alone. So it's the same whether it's a kernel of wheat, it's the same whether it's the mystery of birth, you know. God calls a human race everything from grasshoppers to locusts to smoke and mirrors. I call them the sperm cells of God, and everybody gets, and I got all kinds of trouble about that. But anyway, but it's the same analogy for a sperm cell. The sperm cell has to be, before the sperm cell has any meaning, it has to find the egg. And then it's absorbed into the egg, and it totally loses its identity. And that egg, the mother of us all, if you will, is the New Jerusalem. That's our overriding reality. And when you have come to the end of yourself, you've accepted your end, then that's what happens. It's not some religious crap.
I was thinking about the church, is ecclesia. It's probably the same word for calls.
Yeah,
church is called out of the world.
Just means the called out ones. It's not a building. And God is, and that.
The idea is God is doing the calling.
But again, it's when Jesus said, you know, we've spent years past months on the word. This the idea of abiding. What abiding means. He shall that abides to the end shall be saved. Not enough. And so we abide, and again, we've said the idea that if you abide with the mind of a Gentile, you're not abiding, you're just hanging around. You're not being baptized, you're just getting wet. You're not taking communion, you're just eating some bread and drinking some wine. But this mystery of birth, if you will, and the sperm falling into the ground and dying, there's no merit in dying. You can't use the title of apostle. The only reason Paul did it here is, and we lose its meaning in English, but the only reason he did it here is that it was this whole idea that he was just declaring of what has happened to him. All right.
Well, the reason I was asking that, whenever I hear the word call, it's laden with a heavy meaning of a conversation. You know, had a conversation with God and there was a call. And I assume it comes from right here. And I don't know what, I never get exactly what people are talking about. And
Well, that's just goofy. That's why, I mean, I'm called of God to have a healing ministry, or I'm called of God to be an evangelist, or I'm called of God to be a preacher. Or that's not what that means. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's each one of us are called. I mean, that's, again, the calling isn't a label that happens. The calling is the result of this servant position, this coming to the fullness of it. And then you go, well, and then you try to figure out, well, what am I called to do? Well, then if you're asking the question, what am I called to do, or the other way you were saying, what is the will of God for my life, then you've missed the whole point. Because then you're trying to have that which can't have you understand what I'm saying?
If you're nailed to the door, if you're nailed to the door, you could be wondering, well, what does he want me to do?
A doorpost.
Well, you're doing it.
That's it.
That's a great picture, though, the call, because you nailed your ear to the door.
Yeah. Right. You can't.
That's the phone.
And when that happens, then because you believe, you will speak. So you can't not speak. And then if you speak, then you're an evangelist. And then if you speak, then you have all these idiots that come around and listen to you. So then you're a pastor and teacher. And that's a fivefold ministry. It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. That's talked about. And everybody's, well, we want the full fivefold ministry to be reinstituted. Well, it's never not been instituted. It's just that you've polluted it by putting flesh on it. Is this meaning anything, or am I just ranting again? Well, I'm probably just ranting.
Time for the next word.
What?
Time for the next word.
We need to point out that we've only got two more words. Two words a day. I can't do the math on that. Somebody.
No, you're not counting Paul. We have three words.
Three words?
Wait a minute. I got Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's 10 words.
Can't count two and me.
Called to be an apostle.
You're counting common articles.
Two was a prep.
No, two and me are in italics.
A second of it.
You should go over the italicized words first, get them out of the way completely. And go back and finish up with the real ones. Go ahead.
I got an observation that the two roads are, the gospel shuts up your mouth. Religion cranks you up to start a ministry and label yourself something.
It pushes that, keeps that power coming.
Keeps it working and makes something happen. One time.
Nobody knows why. That's just a private joke between you and I.
I know. You, me, and the internet.
Can you see that this is about the what is? It's not about finding out what you're going to do. It's not the manufacturer's handbook. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It can't be the revelation of Christ if you're in the picture, because then you're still back. You're not going swimming. You're just over there thinking about, talking about going into the pool. You understand what I'm saying? If the things in the pool are not of us, they're none of our business. They're not to be thought of. They're not to be considered. They're not to be examined. The only thing you have to examine is: am I really swimming, or am I just thinking about swimming? That's why I say over and over: 90% of the time, people don't get baptized; they just get wet. You don't eat the bread in communion. You don't. It's not a sacrament that can have any meaning that's separate from. It's the essence of what happens in this dying seed. Then the bread and the wine. Then everything you eat, in fact, is the bread, the body, and everything you drink is the blood of the Lord. And there's nothing else. But all of us are Pharisees. We want to separate. We want to have a religious part of our life, and we want to have another part of our life, or secular, whatever the word is. And so we live in these two worlds, no matter how much we think and try not to We always live in two worlds because we've separated. So there's no transforming by the renewing of our minds because our minds haven't been renewed. They've just been given the covering of religion. And sometimes that takes many, many years to break through. I mean, it's not that you shouldn't get upset about the things of the world because it's finished. It's that you won't get upset about the things of the world because it's finished. These are the tells in the cosmic poker game. This is how you know whether or not the repentance has been total, whether you've really seen yourself in dust and ashes, whether you've truly apprehended the subtlety of the evil one, or whether you're still dancing on the edges trying to make sense of it. If you're outside the pool and you read the Bible, you'll automatically, what does this mean to me? Amen.
It's like a religion gives you more things to get upset about. You know, it's like there's a whole new arena, a whole other dimension of life that I can start, be in anxiety about. Or
it's a whole bunch of rules.
Does it cause you to, be totally at peace? Nothing to worry about.
There's a whole bunch of rules you can't keep. You can just act like you're keeping. Then he puts this one in there that if you even think about doing something, you've already done it. So all these times that, like Gary and Harry, especially Harry, he beats me up. Well, Gary does too, I know that. Over the years, you've had fights with me so many times, and you've always won in your mind. It's like me and Mark Frick. I used to fight him every day, and he beat me up every day, but then I'd go home, and I'd, aha, I got it. Then I beat him up in my mind, and then I went back and did it, and he beat me up again.
He thought of a new monkey foo move.
If I knew that Chinese shit. Then I learned the Chinese, and it still didn't work. And Mark Frick, as you well know, all of you here know, he started the Vietnam War.
He started the Vietnam War.
He was the commander of the gunboat that shot the first shot in the Gulf of Tonkin, which caused adult... Yes, that's true. You can check it out. It's lore. Yes, check it out. Take a big guy. I'm tired of talking. What?
That's what people talk about, that frickin' Vietnam War.
It's Mark Frick's fault.
Mark Frick.